That takes you all the way back to 1972. We're talking this morning, the shock news this morning, breaking news, the death of David Bowie. Culture and Arts Minister Carol McCullum was a fan. Minister, good morning to you. I have images of you sitting along there, tapping the feet and then singing along to that one. Does that take you back, bring back memories?
Well, it absolutely does, although if you indulge me, that was well before my time, but certainly
I didn't want to say.
Well, I did, so there you go. But certainly, I mean, I have a lot of boy stuff, I'm sure, like many people. And I mean, the different styles, and he was a trailblazer, certainly. I mean, there'll be a lot of cliches attached to David Bowie's passing, but certainly, even growing up in the late 70s and early 80s, there's at least three or four different changes of music and style attached to that. And I mean, he's going to be missed, and certainly, I would anticipate, like many great artists, that even those who are come behind us will certainly be able to pick something off from Bowie's massive collection and like it.
Had a collection of 7-inch singles in a day?
Oh, I had that. I had those, and we called them singles and LPs, even before CDs. Had all those, and then like a lot of music buffs went and got the same music catalogue on CD. But certainly even, I mean, my youngest is 17 and he will certainly be familiar with some of Bowie stuff, just in the way that, you know, I grew up listening to some of the great blues and jazz artists, you know, from my own parents' collection. And that's something that just transcends across generations. Really great music is almost effervescent.
Did you ever get the chance, Carol, to go and see him live or maybe even to meet him at any point?
No, I didn't. I mean, it was one of those people that just either couldn't get a ticket or couldn't afford to go to Slane, although, like many, we travelled down just to sit in someone lifts and all the rest of it. I mean, that was my experience for a lot of gigs growing up. But like a lot of people, even just hearing the news about David Bowie's death, and certainly some of the great classics, and maybe even some of the not-so-well-known songs will be certainly played over the next while. It'll just encourage us all to dig our boy stuff out and start listening to it again.
It's incredible when you look at the tweets and the messages, you know, the broad church of people who have been affected or who enjoyed his music or who have such fond memories. I mean, you tweets from yourself, from the Prime Minister, from the Archbishop of Canterbury. I mean, it's incredible.
It is. And, you know, I mean, like, see, music, the good thing about music is that a lot of people identify with different artists, different styles, and, you know, people of all faiths and on all backgrounds, and most people appreciate some sort of music. I mean, I heard an interview earlier on with David Tremble, who is well known to appreciate the arts of ballet and opera. But there you go. There's a genre in itself. But certainly David Bowie, I would say, you know, goes across at least three generations, and there'll be generations coming behind us who I would be really surprised if, you know, didn't, if not have Bowie, but certainly will be acquiring him over the next while.
I know Stephen's away, and this is not turning into the Hugo Duncan show. It's not a request, but I mean, when you go home tonight, and you dig through your collection, I mean, are there two or three Bowie songs that will definitely be the first couple that you play tonight? Now that it's a day, probably as you say, for many people to go through their collections and to dig out some of those Bowie hits and revisit them.
Well, I mean, Starman's been on the radio from I got up this morning hearing about his death and Heroes. But certainly one of my favourite albums was Aladdin Sane, and it goes right through to Lodger, it goes right through to Scurry Monsters and Super Creeps, right through to Let's Dance, and even through the Bowie singles collection. You know, they'll be getting a wipe of the sleeve to get the dust off some of them who I haven't played in a while. But certainly one of the songs I actually played just on the way up was Drive on Saturday, and you know, there'll be loads of stuff. I mean, even like a classic like Wild as the Wind. I mean, Bowie tackled that and done us great justice, but certainly he's left us a great legacy, and that's something that I'm sure his family, but indeed his fans, are very, very appreciative of.
Minister, thanks for taking time to speak to us morning. That's the Arts Minister and a huge David Bowie fan, Carol McCullum. We're going to hear from Ralph McLean and also music writer Fraser McAlpine shortly. Norman's listening this morning, Norman Boyd. Norman, you shocked this morning when you heard the news?
Joel, it was one of those stories that you hear on the news. It was absolutely stunned to hear because as I grew up myself as a young lad and my older sister, we just simply played Bowie songs hour after hour, particularly his early stuff like Space Oddity, Aladdin Sane, Ziggy Stardust. Those we knew every word of every song. It's just a terrible loss to the music industry and a complete shock. One of the things it's on my list, I know concerts and that are very expensive, but I would have paid whatever it took if I held out the hope that one day I'd see him in the Belfast SSC Arena, because a lot of stars like Elton John and that come, and Bowie was really one that I really wanted to see because of the early music in particular. Very, very sad.
And the thing about it was it came as such a shock because I don't think anybody really knew. It wasn't in the public domain that he was particularly ill.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible that such a world star, and he was very private in many ways, but to keep that news sort of private just says it all as well. I mean, he was a world star, really up there with the very, very best in rock music. And I was hoping he released a new album. We were hoping that he was going to be doing maybe a world tour, of which somewhere in the UK or Northern Ireland or even Dublin. It's just shocking news. It's completely stunning, you know.
You've a collection then, Norman, have you? Like the minister, will you be heading home to dig out a few vinyls perhaps or a few CDs and your own Bowie collection?
Absolutely. I mean, I have the old albums still in the loft, and I've got the CD.
The vinyl collection in the loft. That's something I think an awful lot of listeners can empathise with, Norman.
Well, absolutely. And I've also, as I say, I've got the Ziggy Stardust, the Space Oddity, all on CD as well. And I said to my wife when she was going to work this morning, I'm just going to spend the day listening to the boy and thinking of the times when we grew up. It was tough times in the 60s and 70s as we were kids, but we got our release from listening endless hours to the 12-inch albums of Bowie, and as I say, it's just so sad for him and his family.
Well, Ralph McLean, our BBC Northern Ireland specialist music presenter, I'm sure many of you listen to Ralph's programmes, joining us this morning, so too Fraser McAlpine, the music writer. What a legacy, Ralph, and what a shock.
An untouchable legacy, Joel. It's as simple as that. I'm sitting outside my kid's school here, and I was blasting Ziggy Stardust in the school run this morning to them. Devastating news. There had been a lot of rumours and a lot of people suggesting that Bowie was very ill around the time of the last album the next day, but it still has come as an enormous shock, I think. A truly unique artist, and artist is the key word. You know, he's a man who kept pushing the artistic envelope, and that is to be applauded. The man had so many different styles and so many different looks and so many different sounds, and he changed the face of popular music. People followed where Bowie went, and, you know, there's very few true originals like that in the history of popular music. It's a very sad day. There was nobody quite like Bowie, and like Carol and like all your callers, I'll be digging out the albums. For me, it'll probably be Hunky Dory. It's an album that I always go back to, and particularly the song Quicksand. But there's such a raft of material with Bowie that, you know, you could spend months just going through it. It's an incredible back catalogue, and thankfully that'll live on and keep his light shining bright, you know, because he is one of the two greats, and we've lost another one today. The heavens have opened here in Coleraine. It's almost like, significant. It's a very, very sad day for music.
A true trailblazer, Fraser.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, he continues to provide inspiration for any artist that wants to, you know, put their work out there, because he always zagged when people were expecting him to dig. No pun intended, you know, that he would go from making exceptionally strange art music. His last number one of the 70s was Ashes to Ashes, and then to go from that to working with Nile Rodgers of Chic and making the Let's Dance album, which is an incredibly accessible, poppy kind of music, you know. And so he's always... And then, you know, he had something of an artistic comeback in the 1990s, and then just stopped making music for ages. And then he came back And as you know, as was just said, you know, the bitter irony of the situation is around the time of his previous album, the one before the one that came out last week. People said, "Oh, he's back from the dead. You know, he's been ill, but he's better now." And that will have been only a couple of months before the cancer diagnosis, because as his Facebook post said, it was 18 months he's been battling cancer. Well, that album the next day came out in March 2013, which is, you know, 20 months ago. So it's an immaculately staged, managed departure as well, you know, to not tell anyone. His producer, Tony Visconti, has been on Facebook this morning saying that he knew a year ago, but this is exactly how Bowie wanted it to be, you know, that it wouldn't be about the sort of the mawkish decline of the human being. It would be about him creating one last piece of artistic expression, and then suddenly he would leave the stage and that would be that. And it's, you know, a very self-conscious performer, a very intelligent performer, and a very expressive human being, and a true talent.
We're talking about the death of David Bowie this morning. 0-30-30-80-55-50 fan. If you were a fan, or if you were perhaps lucky enough to see him live, Fraser, this ability to sort of reinvent himself and to just change direction and to survive as long as he did in such a cutthroat industry.
It's astonishing. But what you have to remember about Bowie is that he's not like a dilettante. He's not someone that wanders into situations and steals all of the ideas. He's exceptionally sincere, but has a very, very short attention span. So when he was making the Ziggy Stardust-type glam rock music, you know, that particular sound that he had, he got bored of it, and then he decided he really liked what was coming out of Philadelphia and made American soul music. So he made the Young Americans album, because he really loved that. And then when he'd done that, he went off and did something else. But each time he's come back with a different thing, it's been the thing that he's been most excited by in the world at that point. He was most excited by the internet in the early 90s. He got really excited by that and sort of ploughed a lot of time and investment into what you could possibly do with the internet. And so he's a little bit like, you know, one of those kids you meet at school that, you know, you're just constantly trying to catch up with them because they've always read the latest thing, or they've seen a new thing that they're really pleased. They're suddenly into this, they're suddenly into that. But at each point along the way, it was an incredibly sincere form of excitement that he would display. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't just trying to constantly wrong-foot people for the sake of being kicksy.
And the thing about it is as well, Ralph, I mean, you have to be exceptionally good to last decade after decade after decade. I mean are those days gone of mega stars being able to have the staying power that'll see them through generation after generation in a sort of a here today, gone tomorrow world that we seem to live in now?
Well, I would agree, Joel. The bottom line is it's the most disposable industry in the world, the pop industry, and Bowie survived 4 decades. And you think even visually what Bowie was offering to the world, an incredible array of images, an incredible array of powerful pop cultural statements.
Ahead of his time, Ralph, as well. He sort of got it, didn't he? He was ahead of his time again, even with that, not just the music, but in terms of everything that went with it.
Always ahead of his time, and as we've been saying this morning, usually when other people caught up with him, then he was a bit bored and he moved on. So in that sense, he was a proper leader. We played Starman earlier on. We heard the wonderful Starman. Now, if you spoke to a whole generation of pop stars who saw Starman on Top of the Pops and became pop stars simply from seeing the incredible vision of androgynous power that was David Bowie and Starman, Boy George, Mark Almond, a lot of figures saw that performance, went on to be stars themselves. He provided a gateway into the strange and the less familiar and the less acceptable, perhaps, in 70s society. He was like a flash of technicolor in a black and white age, really, when he arrived in the late 60s. And he continued to do that. I was playing Black Star, the title track of the new album, on the radio show just the other night. I'm thinking, you know, there's no reason why he had to be that obtuse with a single. He really pushed the envelope, and he didn't just go for a simple comeback pop single. He was always pushing it, and that's a very difficult track to play on the radio. It's 9 minutes long for a start. Only Bowie would come back to something like that, and only Bowie would be as interesting to do something like that and come back with an obscure piece like that that reminds you of what a proper artist he was and is. And I think he still had a lot to give, which makes it very sad as well. This is not somebody coming to the end of their career and we're just looking back and thinking, oh, wasn't he great in the 70s and 80s? Bowie was still doing it, and that's what makes it perhaps all the sadder, is that he had a lot more to offer, I feel.
Yes, this whole idea of, as you say, his death coming days after this album release.
Well, yes, I mean, you know, Fraser mentioned it there. It sounds a bit cold, perhaps, to say it, but in some ways Bowie was quite cold and calculating, and he seems almost like he has stage-managed his passing, the way he stage-managed so many of those great changes in his career. To release an album, to release a single, that single, Lazarus, has some remarkable lines in it, actually. Look up here, I'm in heaven. I've got scars that can't be seen. Now, to release that just before you die is a remarkable statement. So people had hoped he would make a live comeback, but it was 2006 was the last appearance, since the charity appearance. So I think a live return to the live arenas would have been very unlikely anyway. But just incredible to think he's still making vital, interesting and challenging music right up to just before he passes. That's unique.
Stay with us if you can, Ralph and Fraser. Tina's in touch this morning. Morning, Tina.
Good morning. Morning. Very sad day for us all. Bowie was an icon, not only of music, but for people like myself who were transgendered. You know, he pushed the boundaries. He pushed the boundaries of sexuality and gender. It was people like him who sort of gave me, in the 70s, nobody knew what transgendered was. He gave me the sort of courage to be the person I am today.
And in terms of his music, and in terms of how he was, that look on stage, I mean, he was like nothing else of his generation.
Exactly, exactly. He was the sort of first, really, of the real glam rockers, and many others followed him, you know, but nobody seemed to have it the same as he did, you know.
Did you ever get to see him live?
Didn't, unfortunately, no.
It's incredible, isn't it? You know, the amount of people who, okay, we've only heard from a few on the program this morning, yes. but so many people who almost made it like their, I don't know, their bucket list event that was,
exactly.
You know, where you probably would have paid anything, whatever it would have cost, to get a chance to get a ticket to see David Bowie.
Exactly. I say he pushed the boundaries for many, many people. There are many people around today who would have lived drab, dreary little lives had it not been for Bowie and people like him.
Tina, thanks for your call this morning. Fraser, he did have that sort of bucket list thing about him, didn't he, where there are probably an awful lot of people listening this morning who would have paid whatever it would have taken to get a ticket to go and see David Bowie live.
Absolutely, and as befits the status of a man who constantly, as I said, zagged when other people were expecting him to zig, he didn't tour after that. I mean, his popularity around the time of his last tour was not what it is now. I think he was also very aware of the fact that you could just disappear for a bit and you know, wait for people to come round to where you were, you know, the last time they saw you. But I mean it's funny to think about it in the terms of what we've missed out in terms of gigs or whatever. But you know, what we're missing from here on in is the leadership. You know, he was pointing in directions that we could follow as listeners, as our, you know, as thinking human beings, and you know. Everything that everybody has said already is also true.
Well, that's funny. We've spoken about, you know, the gap maybe that there now is in terms of those who can span decades in what Ralph has quite rightly said is, you know, such an unforgiving industry. Do you think do you see anybody around the industry at the minute that can provide that sort of leadership, as you've described it?
I mean, I can, but the thing is with leadership is, in some respects, it only looks like leadership in retrospect. So there are people who are as iconoclastic as Bowie was. Kanye West is somebody that is constantly reinventing himself and doing interesting things with his music. However, he's also somebody that a lot of people think is an idiot. And I think, you know, it may be in years to come that we'll look back on his career and see him as some way inspirational in the way that Bowie was, but I don't know that that's the case. And it would be a foolish thing to project it right now. But there, I mean, you just don't know. I mean, in 1975, David Bowie was the hottest ticket in the world, but nobody would have predicted that there would be even rock and roll in 40 years on from that. And the idea of rock and roll being a heritage industry was laughable at that point. So it's impossible to say right now. Pop music has always been ephemeral and fly by night. People disappear, you know, and overnight, and then suddenly pop up again as if, you know, while they've been doing their day jobs or whatever, because they can't make ends meet. There was a documentary on the Bay City Rollers on the BBC over Christmas. Who'd have thought that would happen?
Fraser, appreciate your time this morning. Music writer Fraser McAlpine. Ralph, before you go, I think we have about sort of 30, 40 seconds. Will you be sitting down now? I'm sure many programmes over the course of the next few nights with you. You'll be looking at your playlists and David Bowie will feature, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and I'd love to hear from Radio Walker listeners as well, what they particularly loved about Bowie, what tracks meant something to them through their lives, because he's one of those guys, he soundtracks the lives of loads of people, so I'd like to hear from Radio Walker listeners, and yep, I'll be playing lots of...
Excellent. Ralph, appreciate your time this morning.